Re-Engineering the Corporation, A Manifesto for Business Revolution. Authors, Michael Hammer and James Champy. Why it's a business classic. The most successful business book of the last decade, Re-Engineering the Corporation, is the pioneering work on the most important topic in business today, achieving dramatic performance improvements. This book leads readers through the radical redesign of a company's process, organization, and culture to achieve a quantum leap in performance. Michael Hammer and James Champy have updated and revised their milestone work for the new economy they helped to create, promising to help corporations save hundreds of millions of dollars more, raise their customer satisfaction still higher, and grow ever more nimble in the years to come. Reengineering, the path to change. When someone asks us for a quick definition of business reengineering, we say that it means starting over again. It doesn't mean tinkering with what already exists or making incremental changes that leave basic structures intact. It isn't about making patchwork fixes, jury-rigging existing systems, so that they work better. It does mean abandoning long-established procedures and looking afresh at the work required to create a company's product or service and deliver value to the customer. It means asking this question: if I were recreating this company today, given what I know and given current technology, what would it look like? Re-engineering a company means tossing aside old systems and starting over. It involves going back to the beginning and inventing a better way of doing work. Re-engineering formally defined. Let's begin then, with a better definition. Re-engineering properly is the fundamental rethinking and radical redesign of business processes to achieve dramatic improvements in critical, contemporary measures of performance, such as cost, quality, service, and speed. This definition contains four keywords. Keyword 1. Fundamental. The first keyword is fundamental. In doing re-engineering, business people must ask the most basic questions about their companies and how they operate. Why do we do what we do, and why do we do it the way we do? Asking these fundamental questions forces people to look at the tactic rules and assumptions that underlie the way they conduct their business. Often these rules turn out to be obsolete, erroneous, or inappropriate. Re-engineering begins with no assumptions and no givens. In fact, companies that undertake re-engineering must guard against the assumption. Re-engineering begins with no assumptions and no givens. In fact, companies that undertake re-engineering must guard against the assumptions that most processes already have embedded in them. To ask, how can we perform customer credit checks more efficiently, assumes that customer credit must be checked. In many instances, the cost of checking may in fact exceed the bad debt losses that checking avoids. Re-engineering first determines what a company must do, then how to do it. Re-engineering takes nothing for granted. It ignores what is and concentrates on what should be. Keyword 2. Radical. The second keyword in our definition is radical, which is derived from the Latin word radix, meaning root. Radical design means getting to the root of things, not making superficial changes or fiddling with what is already in place, but throwing away the old. In re-engineering, radical redesign means disregarding all existing structures and procedures and inventing completely new ways of accomplishing work. Re-engineering is about business reinvention, not business improvement, business enhancement, or business modification. Keyword, dramatic. The third word is dramatic. Re-engineering isn't about making marginal or incremental improvements, but about achieving quantum leaps in performance. If a company falls 10% short of where it should be, if its costs come in 10% too high, if its quality is 10% too low, and if its customer service performance needs 10% boost, that company does not need re-engineering. More conventional methods, from exhorting the troops to establishing incremental quality programs, can dig a company out of 10% hole. Re-engineering should be brought in only when a need exists for heavy blasting. Marginal improvement requires fine-tuning. Dramatic improvement demands blowing up the old and replacing it with something new. Keyword 3. Processes. The fourth keyword is processes. Although this word is not the most important in our definition, it is also the one that gives most corporate managers the greatest difficulty. Most business people are not process-oriented. They're focused on tasks, on jobs, on people, and on structures, but not on processes. We define a business process as a collection of activities that takes one or more kinds of input and creates an output that is of value to the customer. In other words, the delivery of the ordered goods to the customer's hands is the value that the process creates. Who will re-engineer? Companies don't re-engineer processes. People do. Before we delve more deeply into the what of the re-engineering process, we need to attend the who. How companies select and organize the people who actually do the re-engineering is key to the success of the endeavor. We have seen the following roles emerge, either distinctly or in various combinations during our work with companies that are implementing re-engineering. Leader, a senior executive who authorizes and motivates the overall engineering effort. Process owner, a manager with responsibility for a specific process and the re-engineering effort focused on it. Re-engineering team, a group of individuals dedicated to the re-engineering of a particular process, who diagnose the existing process and oversee its redesign and implementation. Steering committee, a policymaking body of senior managers who develop the organization's overall re-engineering strategy and monitor its progress. Re-engineering czar, an individual responsible for developing. In an ideal world, the relationship among these is as follows. The leader appoints the process owner, who convenes a re-engineering team to re-engineer the process, with the assistance from the czar and the auspices of the steering committee. The experience of process redesign. Redesign is the most nakedly creative part of the entire re-engineering process. More than any other, it demands imagination, inductive thinking, and a touch of craziness. In redesigning processes, the re-engineering team abandons the familiar and seeks the outrageous. Redesign asks the team members, especially the insiders, to suspend their beliefs in the rules, procedures, and values that they've honored their whole working lives. Redesign is unnerving precisely because the team can do whatever it likes. The bad news about redesigning a work process is that it is not algorithmic and routine. There are no 10-step procedures that will mechanically produce a radical new process design. The good news about redesign is that while it may require creativity, it's not necessary to start with an entirely blank slate. Enough companies have now done re-engineering for us to be able to discern some recurring patterns in the processes they have redesigned. Redesign can be fun, but eventually comes the sobering moment when the re-engineering team has to explain what it's been doing to the rest of the company, to the people who will have to adjust to and live with the team's redesigned processes. The team has to move from having ideas to making them happen. That part of the re-engineering process can be less fun. Succeeding at re-engineering. Sadly, we must report that despite the success stories described in previous chapters, many companies that begin re-engineering don't succeed at it. They end their efforts precisely where they began, making no significant changes, achieving no major performance improvement, and fueling employee cynicism with yet another ineffective business improvement program. Our unscientific estimate is that as many as 50 to 70% of the organizations that undertake a re-engineering effort do not achieve the dramatic results they intended. Nonetheless, while we say re-engineering is often unsuccessful, it is not a high-risk endeavor. This apparent oxymoron isn't oxymoronic at all. Consider the difference in the risk between roulette and chess. Roulette is the high-risk endeavor. Chess is not. Although a player may lose at chess as frequently as at roulette, roulette is purely a game of chance. Once the money is put down, players have no control over the outcome. In chess, chance plays no part in the outcome. The better player can expect to win. Loss results from the ability and strategy. As with chess, so with re-engineering, the key to success lies in knowledge and ability, not in luck. If you know the rules and avoid making mistakes, you're extremely likely to succeed. In re-engineering, moreover, the same mistakes get made over and over. The first step to re-engineering success, therefore, is to recognize these common failures and learn to avoid them. In the last decade, many miracle cures have been prescribed for the ills of American business. Most of them have passed through the patients without discernible effect. Re-engineering, in contrast, promises no miracle cure. It offers no quick, simple, and painless fix. On the contrary, it entails difficult, strenuous work. It requires that people running companies and working in them change how they think as well as what they do. Re-engineering is still a new endeavor. All of us engaged in it are pioneers. The world of the Industrial Revolution is giving way to an era of a global economy, powerful information technologies, and relentless change. The current is rising on the age of re-engineering. Those who respond to its challenges will write the new rules of American business. All that is needed is the will to succeed and the courage to begin.